Okay. Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today we are on the 7th day of the retreat. Today is Thursday, 21st March 2019. It also coincides with the double auspicious day. It's the equinox, equinox, spring equinox. And it also coincides with our full moon day. So that's the reason why today the morning chanting by the temple is longer. Then they also will be celebrating the puja offering for the 15th of the full moon. And like we were told, we managed to have the opportunity to partake in those wholesomeness, we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then the other one is we can have our morning chanting, because this morning we just have a simple morning puja. So I'll get Engby to help us to read the morning chanting. Page 14. Oh, sorry.
5.
Page 5.
Morning chanting, page 5. Retreat chanting book. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well. To these, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed One, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed One. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha.
Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One.
Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha.
The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and humans. He is awake and holy. In this world with its gods, demons and kind spirits, its seekers and sages, celestial and human beings, he has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and conventions. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One.
Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma.
Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this truth.
Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha.
They are the Blessed One's disciples who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. That is the four paths, the eight kinds of noble beings. These are the Blessed One's disciples. Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offerings, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to this Sangha. I bow my head to this Sangha.
Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement.
The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear sight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly indeed, that Buddha I revere. The teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruits, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world, devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revere, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, those who have realized peace, awakened after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abandoned, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revere. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy through the power of such good action. May all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known. Having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness, disease is suffering, and death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Association with the dislike is suffering. Separation from one's loved ones and our prized possession is suffering. Not attaining one's wishes is suffering. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with the body, identification with feeling, identification with perception, identification with mental formations, identification with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructed his disciples in just this way. In addition, he further instructed, the body is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formations are impermanent, consciousness is impermanent. The body is non-self, feeling is non-self, perception is non-self, mental formations are non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. There is no self in the conditioned and in the unconditioned. All of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness, and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bound by suffering and obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long ago attained parinibbana, is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively we follow the pathway of that Blessed One. With all of our mindfulness and strength, may then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering.
Okay, we will do the closing puja in Pali.
Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghaṃ namāmi.
Okay, you can visit that. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Yeah? So, according to the program, we're supposed to have meditation, I think. Yeah. Okay, because we have 1.5 hours, huh? So I will use 1/2 hour for sharing. Then maybe you meditate for 1 hour. Okay, Suyang got a good suggestion. Because some are leaving tomorrow morning, I was told. Jingyap, Lei Hong, and Richard also. AMB is 3 o'clock. So he suggests we take a group photo before we leave. This is the biggest number, is it? 29 of you. Otherwise, yeah. So we have it in the hall here. We don't have to go out. So far so good. The weather has been very kind. Every day sunny, very good. I was told by Sui An before we come, freezing cold. So every time we come, the weather has been very good. So today is the 7th day. So there were 2 retreats also same. People don't believe. For 8 days, very beautiful. On the closing ceremony, on the end of the 8th day, the rain start, the thunder start. Then the next day, on the 9th day, good weather again, like just this. Every morning we wake up. Then the hot sun in the daytime help us so that the temperature at night is not so cold. So it's supposed to be 12 degrees and below. But all the while we are here is 14 and above. So far so good. So we like to have gratitude towards all the Dhamma protectors, all the devas, and all those who have made this possible. We rejoice with them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, today I would like to refer you all to this book, the new book, Understanding the Heart and the Mind. This blue book is a very important book. You go back, you must read. I have shared until page 18. So now we continue from page 19. Those who just came can get a copy each. Turn to page 19. 3.3.5. The mundane mind and the true mind. So this one, a lot of people don't understand. That's why they couldn't penetrate the Dhamma. They only familiar with one type of mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the mind that they always use. These two minds, you must develop the understanding and you must understand their purpose and usage. Otherwise, you can't. You can't progress along the path of Dhamma. So there are 2 types of mind. The thought is the first type. Thought pertains to the mundane mind, where thought is dependent originating, respond to memory. Since the mundane mind is dependent originating, hence it is impermanent. And this is what thought is all about. It arises and it passes away according to condition. Then there is another type of mind, the true mind. So there are 2 types of mind, namely the mundane mind and the true mind. Your true mind is your silent mind, your true nature within, before the thought arise, before the aggregates of mind arise. I hope by now it's clear. The moment you are silent, quiet, without thought, that true mind is perceivable. You can detect it. You can be aware of it. But most people can't because they are hardly quiet. Their thought is always moving, heedless thinking. That's the reason why living beings very seldom can have the condition to realize the true mind, to understand that they have another mind, which is the true mind, before the arising of thought or consciousness or the aggregate of mind. Before you even perceive, the pure awareness or the pure perception without the words, like the baby when he see things, is the pure consciousness that has the pure perception without the words, without the concept. So without word means they don't even know what that thing is. No labeling. They don't even know the color and all those things. They don't have, they just see it as it is without the word. Yeah. We call it color. We call it green, black, white, or whatever color. But to them, it's just that thing. Yeah. So this is how you should develop the understanding. Then you find out yourself, really, whether what the teaching tell us is true or not. Because this one, the two type of mind, very funny. I can't find it in the Theravada. It's always in the Mahayana Sutta. The Theravada always talk about mano, citta, and vijnana, these three. So I have explained earlier on already. Mano is actually mind. So when the Buddha used mano, I think he talked about both that mind together. But when he talked about citta, it's very clear that it's the thought. Then vijnana is always the pure receptacle consciousness before the content go in. When the content go in, it becomes the citta. Suddenly quiet. You perceive or not? Because when the vibration, the disturbing vibration in between suddenly stop, you can perceive that silence, the quieter moment, the shift of your hearing consciousness. So when you meditate, it's the same. When your sankhara quiet down, when all your thinking all slow down and quiet down, you can perceive the sudden shift of consciousness. The mind becomes very quiet, still, like nothing. That awareness take over. In fact, your true mind, the awareness, the pure mind, the pure nature, is always there. Whether you are aware of it, you are not aware of it, it's there. Like now, quiet again. You realize? Yeah? How many of you cannot perceive? Can perceive? So few are. Wow, means most of you are still inside your own mental world. You have to slowly learn how to develop the ability to be aware. Then you are sensitive. You can feel it. You can perceive it. Okay, I read on. Maybe it will help you to understand. Those who have studied the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta will understand. The whole of meditation is centered on understanding that there are these two types of mind. Master Huineng, the Sixth Patriarch, back from Sutta's teaching, take you directly to the true mind. He said, you must silence your mundane mind to realize the true mind. And that is basically what meditation is all about. For you to meditate, you need to be heedful. Remember, we have gone through. If you are not heedful, you are as if dead. Finish. That's why, where's Adeline? You want to share what you told me last night? Share. Very good. She was at Kushinara, the India trip recently. And when she was there, she received a very strong message. Yeah, you just share.
Yeah. We were at the Kushinaga, the Mahaparinibbana temple.
Yeah.
So we were at inside the temple where Buddha Parinibbana posture. Lots of people, one big group of students. So they all go around the Buddha.
Circumventing, they call circumambulating or what? The English. You walk around, ambulating. Okay.
Circumambulate. Okay. So you can see them They are just there to visit.
Yeah, they are not there to really develop the ability to feel the area, to understand the area.
Yeah.
Very good, you continue.
Lots of them, so...
Yeah, they are like tourists.
Yeah, tourists, yes. So, I pay respect.
Develop the faith.
Yeah, and then I thank Buddha for his teaching. So, of course, I can remember the last word that he...
Yeah, strive on with heedfulness.
Yeah, so I'll say, thank you, Buddha, so I'll strive on with heedfulness. So after that, we went for meditation. So then we sat down. So very fast into a stillness.
Yeah, settled
then
down.
The message came. Those who are heedful will see the Buddha and his teaching. So
the message is very clear. Then she came to this retreat. Every time we talk about heedfulness.
So before that, the heedfulness, this word is... Not really, I don't really understand to the fullest. But yesterday, after the teaching, the words is very clear to me. I said, oh, no wonder I received the teaching. So now I really see that if you are heedless, not ever mindful,
you can't see the teaching.
You can't see the teaching.
You can't see the Buddha too. Because the Buddha mentioned to the monk, he who sees me never see the real Buddha. Means that is the form. But he who sees the Dhamma sees me. Do you understand the statement? What is the Dhamma? Embodiment of truth, his teaching, understand not? So who is the Buddha? Embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue, which is his teaching. That's why you don't see his teaching, you cannot see the real Buddha. That's the reason why I keep on telling you, the real Buddha that we pay respect, take homage and take refuge, is not the statue, understand? The statue is not the Buddha, but it let you recall to mind the Buddha. The Buddha is the embodiment of his wisdom and virtue, his perfection. That is the Buddha. So when we take refuge in that, that one never get destroyed. Nobody can take away that Buddha from you. Because the Buddha nature exists in the universe. So if you have faith, you have the affinity, you will connect, you will receive. Then one of my teachers always remind me, he said, the nature of these great beings and all the Buddha, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. Kehun, your writing very nice. I like your writing. Come. Write. The nature of all the great beings. All the great beings and the Buddha. Oh, cannot pua. Jin Hao. The nature of all the great beings and the Buddha. And the Buddha. Ever radiating. For the cultivator of the way. For the cultivators of the way. Always remember this. You want to be close to them? You want to receive whatever blessing, protection and guidance. You must be a real cultivator. Because according to my dad teacher, it seems, that's why I heard, that's why I cannot confirm, but I just relate to you what I heard. They were monks during the Buddha's time. And this teacher of mine was one of the top 10 disciples of the Buddha. At that time, they were striving very hard. And even while they were meditating in the Channa ground, you know what is a Channa ground? You understand what is a Channa ground? All the cemetery where they throw the dead body, they burn the dead body. Then sometimes they throw there. Then the wild animal, the beast, the dog, they will come and tear it apart, all the thing. So he said, even in that Channa ground, full of all those things, where they were cultivating the nine stages of cemetery contemplation, because during the time of the Buddha, there is a lot of this Channa ground around. So she remember, even in the Channa ground, the nature of the Buddha keep on radiating to them. That's why they receive all this very, very beautiful nature. Yeah. That type of wisdom energy. That type of pure energy. Yeah. So if you are a cultivator, they will be there. Their nature is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. So if you have that understanding, anywhere, you just silence your mind, you actually can connect and you can feel them. Quiet again, very quiet again. This time so clear, can feel. So all this, as you develop the cultivation, you will understand. But if you are always heedlessly caught in the mundane mind, the heedless thinking mind, lost in thought, then you are not sensitive. Then you cannot receive anything. I always use this analogy. If you want to receive all this pure energy or wisdom energy from all these cultivators of the way or the great beings, what must you have? It's just like you want to receive the pure water. You must have a cup in there. If you don't have a cup, what you do? You put your two hands. Then what happens? It will leak in there. By the time you want to drink, you can only drink maybe a sip or two. But you have a cup, it stays there. Whatever you receive, you can drink. So the analogy is quite similar. If you don't cultivate, means you don't even have a cup. Understand? And you really heedless until you can't even know that there is this pure water, because you are totally heedless, insensitive. You don't even know how to use your two hands to try to receive it. So at least if you are a cultivator, you have not developed the cultivation to a level where you have a cup to receive. You can use your two hands, or you can just allow it like rain. You go out, open up your mouth, you will receive a few drops, So in a similar way, you can develop the understanding. That's why you should strive on your heedfulness, so that when you are heedful, you are sensitive, you can detect, you can receive. So whenever I travel, spiritual trip or whatever, I can detect all this because my heart here open up. Then as a cultivator, you already develop like a cup inside there. Then you can draw, you can receive. Then when people are of lower cultivation than you, they will draw yours. And one thing you must understand, because a lot of the Kayanamita they know, especially during the early day, sometimes I can be like having sneezing and all those things, like very weak. But the moment I start to share the Dhamma, I like fully recover, the energy just calm. But at the same time, you all as cultivator and even the unseen being, all those things, actually they can draw from this nature. But this nature is very funny. The more you draw, it will never empty. The more you draw, the stronger that nature become. It's just like the more you share, the more you receive, the more you give, the more you receive. So this is the thing that can allow you to understand. So don't be selfish. Like last time, the Chinese, our tradition, people who teach kung fu, you know what they do? They know 10 steps, they only teach you 9. They scared to tai ta sifu. Understand? They keep one. So every master keep one, end of the day how? No more left. No more left. So what you learn may not be the true one really. But there are some who evolve their own. Understand? Then actually the more you share, the better. Because after they learn, they can discuss with you. Then they can actually come out with better thing. Understand? So it's the same. In a way, if you understand, be generous, be selfless, share. Whatever you share is not lost. When you share, you benefit the living beings. You benefit others. Indirectly, karma-wise, you benefit your own nature. So that's why this one is different. This one, no matter how many people draw, it will never deplete. Yeah. In fact, when people draw, this one become more and more powerful. Then when this one, the nature, that's why when I speak the Dhamma, it's from the heart. I cannot memorize and teach you. Cannot. That's why sometimes you see me recite all these things, I didn't even refer to what I share. But more or less, those important words will come out. Yeah. So, the moment there is condition, that understanding is already in the nature. It's not stored up as memory, knowledge. If it's stored up as memory and knowledge, I can't share. Because every time I need to refer to memory, then memory, how much can you retain? How many of you study the time? Study until the memory cannot retain already. You all experienced before. You experienced before. You know, when did I experience? When I was in the third year. In the third year, I study until because I was really very focused. I like the third year subject a lot. So I study until my memory, I know one, cannot take in anymore. It keep on like want to fall to sleep. Then, because I was very focused and I really want to study, but it reached the limit. Then whatever want to go in, the old one has to disappear. And I didn't know it was due to my lack of food intake. I take a lot of carbohydrate. I didn't take enough protein. Because of what the people say, the internet, the conditioning, you know what they say? Take egg. The egg yolk can give you cholesterol and make your health bad. Then one day I bumped into my classmate, Richard, your president, Chung Ling, later he become a very successful Dato Kilo. But he very close to me. Then I asked him, you got such problem or not? He said, I said, go and take the egg lah. One day you take how many? He said, I take 6. And he was so healthy, so strong. He takes 6 every day. After that, I also take 2. Then I realized my problem gone. We have not enough protein. Understand? Because this one take a lot of protein, a lot of energy. It's all, when you study with a lot of memory and thought energy. After that only I understand. That's why after that I forget about what they say. I just consume egg. Then later my wife was very scared. Hey, don't take the yolk. And all those things. Actually, egg now, they reverse the understanding now. They say the egg is safe. They should take cheapest protein and you don't want to take. Okay, we continue. When you silence your mind, that silent awareness is your meditative mind, and it can see and understand how this mundane mind, which is dependent originating, operate. They also call it the conditioned arising mind. Or sometimes people call it the thinking mind, or the monkey mind as an analogy. But the monkey mind, the monkey could not sit still and be controlled. It is always heedless, and it does not obey you when you fail to train it. That is why dependent on ignorant avijja, sankhara mental activity and thinking starts to arise. And that is key to understanding the mundane mind. Without avijja, there is no sankhara. Get this understood. Hope you understand. But how can you cease avijja? Isn't this is important? How do you cease avijja? Because when avijja go, your first link, avijja paccaya sankhara, weaken. When it weaken means less thinking, less sankhara. That's how you become more aware, more mindful. That's how your true mind comes. Then when you are ever mindful, daily mindfulness stable, means your initial wisdom is already established. Otherwise, you cannot get that. That's why you must go through the constant hearing of the sutta. Even our website, you keep on listening. During the early day, I recorded all those talks that my teacher gave, especially Ajayantra, and whoever that come, I record them. Then I keep on listening, like Xuanhua and all those. I keep on listening. Whenever I travel, I play them, I listen. And as I listen, the understanding keep on stabilizing. Then I reflect, I contemplate. Then I use my own understanding to expand on it. That's why all this that I share with you, a lot of them come from my own understanding that I expanded on it. They actually give me some pointers on it. But from those pointers, from those words, they didn't explain anything. They just recite those words. Yeah, like my teacher, we choose accept everything as natural, finish. He don't explain to you already. Then after that he said, only mighty nature rolling by. Then sometimes he mentioned, only form my mind, form my mind. You have to link all this together. Then when I link them, I realized they were so beautiful. Because that is also what I realized, which is tally. Because for me, I refer to what the Buddha said, see things as they are. Means see the reality. So the reality follow nature's law. That's why the Panchaniyama, I realize, match. That's why when he used the word only mighty nature rolling by, it was so beautiful. And we choose accept everything as natural. Means we will not stir our mind, react, or do any foolish thing. That's how wisdom can stabilize. Sometimes when you understand, it's faster than you sit. You sit without understanding, you cannot learn. In fact, the real wisdom comes in the daily mindfulness. When you have the daily mindfulness, the initial wisdom, then you keep on understanding the Dhamma. The sitting, to me, is actually training the mind. Or when you need to realize cessation, then you sit, formal meditation. Apart from that, sitting will not really help you much. So sitting is to train the mind for those who don't have spiritual faculty. Then later on when you want to realize the true cessation, when you want to go into cessation for longer period, then you need to be in a formal posture. These are the two main reasons why you have to be in a formal posture and sit. Then the other thing is to experience the calmness of mind, the tranquility of mind. And most people, they use concentration, one-pointedness, or jhana. That's why they sit. That's why the Buddha initially also sit. Then he realized all this jhana doesn't help him. Then when he finally, under the Bodhi tree, when he released the concentration out, well, he recalled when he was very young, during the harvesting season. Then that time he was not concentrating. He was just in the first jhana. First jhana is not in apana samadhi. First jhana is just the five jhanic factor is there, but he has piti. Then there is still applied thought, sustained thought. Then there is piti. That's why he was in that happy state, joy.
Then he recite to release all the concentration out. Then he went back to that state. Ah, that state, because it's a free mind, then he was able to connect to his nature because the time has come. It is already the appropriate and right time. Everything falls into place. That's how he inherit his spiritual nature. The Sambhogayakaya coming. That's why after that he understood the whole of the Dhamma, the teaching. And he became the Sammasambuddha. Then after that, for 49 days, 7 weeks, he starts to contemplate. For 1 week, he looked at the Bodhi tree with gratitude. Then after that, he saw dependent originating. Then he saw how living beings take birth and all those things. How they die, how they take rebirth. Then one life, two life, then many, many life. At first he saw his own. That's why he understand all this. And he knew all these segmented life are not the real one. Then his problem gone. Because what he was trying to resolve was old age, sickness and death. Then when he realized that this is karmically conditioned, impermanent, non-self, anatta, not a permanent and genetic entity, not me, then his problem resolved. That's how, from there, he sees his mind and he connects to his nature. Then he inherited his spiritual nature, Sambhogayakaya. That's how he progressed very fast. So all this, you must develop the understanding. And you must know how to use these two minds. The mundane mind is useful for living, for studying, for acquiring those type of technical knowledge and all those things, means to live life and all those things. Then all the important memory about your name, your address, your bank account and all those things, even your friend, your parent, all those things, this one need memory, but these are not psychological, emotional, negative memory. So it's useful. And to live life, to communicate, you need thought. So the mundane mind is mainly for this. But to realize enlightenment, to insight into the characteristic of nature, you need the silent mind, the true mind. That's why Huineng always say, you cannot realize no thought, you cannot touch the true mind. You cannot start your meditation. All meditation start from there. But what you want to realize is the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why it has to be from the silent mind to awaken, to insight into phenomena. Then the moment you understand clearly the three universal characteristics, then your self-delusion is gone. Then after that, with the understanding and the daily mindfulness, your initial wisdom will allow your mind to be more and more quiet, more and more quiet, but less and less sankara. Avijja weaken, you straighten your view. Then avijja weaken some more. Until finally you awaken. When you awaken to the three characteristics of nature, that is just the beginning. Anasana. That's why that is the stability of the yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom. And after that, there is a lot more. You have to go through the four foundation of mindfulness. And to develop the four foundation of mindfulness, unless your sati sambhajana is already very stable, you can't do. When your sati sambhajana is very stable, you will be able to arise the four right effort to cultivate sense restraint. Then after you have sense restraint, then only you can really keep your precepts. And then you can arise the Noble Eightfold Path factor of right thought, right speech, right action and right livelihood. Because the three way of right conduct will come about. Then only technically you have the ability to overcome covetousness and grief, you will not become like normal people. Try to own things, possess things. You will not easily become unhappy, grief and all those things. No more. Then only you can move into the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation, sati sambhajana. And that is what the teaching is all about under Avijja Sutta. So when you understand that, then the focus is sati sambhajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Get it right, stabilize it. Develop the silent awareness, the silent mind, stabilize the silent mind to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate noble effort. That is what the teaching is all about. That is what heedfulness is all about. That's why Adeline, the message is very clear now, and it's meant to be for her to finally understand it clearly. Now that word resonates in her heart very clearly. Then, like Danny yesterday asked where he is new. So later on, this word will resonate in your nature. Then you will know, without this you are as if dead. You will go all out to cultivate this heedfulness. And it must be throughout the day you are heedful. Otherwise, when you sit only you heedful, when you come out of the meditation you no longer heedful, you are as if dead again. You don't stand a chance. Unless you have past parami, past life cultivation. Okay? We go on. So without avijja, there is no sankhara. Hope you understand. But how can you cease avijja? This one is very important. You must have the Dhamma to straighten your view. When you have no more self-delusion, sakayaditi, then what happened? When you have understood clearly that this form and mind is not you, then what happened? When there is no more self-delusion, it means the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion can no longer arise. How did the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion arise? They arise because you believe this form and mind is you, that it is real and you exist. There is a personality and egoist entity within. And what is that? Yes, the I and the me, the ego, the personality. When that arises, the sense of self will be there to cause you to want to own things and control things. And that's how greed, selfishness, covetousness and possessiveness come to be. When you want to own and grasp onto things, you become greedy and possessive. When you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, you get angry and at times violent. These are evil roots that can arise because you think you exist. You think you can own and possess things. That's how you become possessive, violent, greedy, and selfish. And because of that personality, you think you exist and you can afford to be angry, emotional, and jealous. These are the evil roots of hatred. Your envy, your jealousy, your dislike, your aversion, your hatred, and other emotional negativity are part of this evil root of hatred. And they come from sakayaditi. Then when you think you exist, you can also become insecure and fearful. Fear of dying, fear of the unknown and not succeeding. Fear of losing your job. Fear of losing your loved one. There are so many other things that can make living being fearful, where you think these are real. When you realize that this is anatta, or these are anatta, not real, not what you think, because it is all dependent originating, only a condition arising entity, just a causal phenomenon with all the three conditions sustaining is arising, and that this is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come to this world, then what happened? You will come to understand that this physical body of ours goes the way of nature and it is not you. Then why do you cling on to this physical body? Worry about it getting old, getting sick and die, and becomes miserable over it via delusion. These are part of the first noble truth reality. The physical body goes the way of nature, and the Buddha advises us to contemplate it every day. This physical body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. And no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So, when you contemplate, you reflect, you get this understood very clearly until it becomes a part of your understanding. Then when you confront the first noble truth reality, immediately this initial wisdom or this what they call first and second turning wisdom, they will come out. That's how you know how to act. You act according to this understanding. You no longer conditioned by your brain, by your views, opinion and your old thinking. fear death, fear getting old, fear having traumatic disease. All those conditioning cease because you contemplated deep into life. You contemplated deep into what the form and mind is. And when you understand that, the way you live life completely different. Means that Dhamma become a part of you. It's no longer a knowledge. Like a lot of people say, Ratio, easier said than done. When we evolve our own loved one, our own suffering. It's not easier said than done. It's really something that you can understand. And you can do it. It's not difficult.
Ratio?
Yes.
May I share?
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Adeline. Good.
The first day at Varanasi, the first meditation when we sat in front of the Buddha, Buddha's Putti, after his enlightenment, he spent the first rain retreat there. So also sat down, also very still. So after that, the teaching came also. So we saw the, I saw how my five aggregates, grasping of the five aggregates, giving me the suffering.
Yeah.
So after that, so much tears came out.
Yeah, flow out.
So after that, the message came. Our ego, Sakaya Ditti, is the biggest blockage in our cultivation.
And not easy message. To break that one. Because your thought is egoic. Every moment there is Sakaya Ditti. And a lot of people don't understand. They think they already sotapan. That one is your thought telling you. Very good, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Because this understanding will come. And you know why? She always say when she go to all this spiritual place, when she sat down, she immediately go into stillness very fast. Because she has been doing the daily mindfulness quite long already. And she determined to have the daily mindfulness before she come to the last retreat, not only this retreat. Then this retreat, before he come, he told me, Bratio, the best is complete silence. Don't talk. I told her, no problem, you can do it. And because of the daily mindfulness, she went to Wat Na Long earlier on, Rayong. Achan Anand there, because he used to go with Yun Chan Deo. Then what happened was, when she was there, she remembered what I said, no, ever mindful, daily mindful. She determined to do it before the last retreat. That's why when she came back, she became very different. Then when she sat in my Tuesday class, she also in that state very easily. That's why with daily mindfulness, when you sit, immediately you go into stillness, silent. Where the mind already trained. In the midst of life also you can be mindful. The moment you see, no problem at all. Even if you have a little bit of sankara, it will slow down and very fast you go into stillness. That is the reason why she can be that. So don't think that she got magic. No. Of course she has some of her past cultivation helping her. But the main one is her faith and how she determined to go this way. Earlier on, she already knew me long time ago. Then I think she also met my last teacher. But during that time, she cannot understand what I teach. Until recently, after Jared came for the first retreat, went back and tell you you were having an operation, then you start to coming to Tuesday class again. The first retreat, when she took you back here. Immediately, to her, like, he never heard all this before, no. Although she was with me for quite a long time. But that time, the Dhamma didn't go in. That time was all energy. A lot of people all interested in it. Then when he started to understand the Dhamma, she realized this is so beautiful. That's why she keep on coming after that, the Tuesday class. Then this is the third retreat, The second retreat transformed her completely. Then she was full of joy. So easy to enter stillness. So easy to silence the mind. And the breakthrough is daily mindfulness. So I hope with Adeline sharing, it can give you stronger faith so that you know it can be done. Because it doesn't take that long. What she did is just total, in total, less than 3 years.
2 over years. And all these are possible when we are in the sasana. The teaching is there. The understanding is there. Shall we rejoice again? Ah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Thank you so much. Anything else to add? No, very good. Okay, we go on. Page 21, second paragraph. And what is death? Inquire into it. Who died? And what died? The truth of it is, nothing died, because there is he no you, and he no me. No mark of a self, no mark of others, no mark of living being, and no mark of even Dhamma, existence and life. So all this penetrative understanding as taught in the Diamond Sutta and the Heart Sutta will bring forth the wisdom you need to live the noble life in this existential world. When you understand all this, your mind becomes different, and you also become different. So basing on the question forwarded to me, that person who wrote it must be somebody who only understands a little bit here and there. But he knew it is very difficult to follow the heart. They always follow their thought. This mundane mind is basically thought. Do you remember what I told you? The mundane mind is the thought. So when you follow the thought, what happened? You will deviate and go Holland. An expression in Chinese dialect means you deviated. In actual fact, it has nothing to do with your thought. For thought is neither good nor bad. Hope you understand. It is like money. It depends on who is the user of money. You must know how to use it. If the user of thought has the Dhamma and the wisdom, then thought becomes beautiful. Thought becomes right thought. So don't blame the thought. The thought only gives you problem when you don't have the wisdom and the understanding. Always remember that. When you have delusion, avijja. But the moment you awaken, you develop the straightening of you and the understanding or the initial wisdom, your avijja weaken, your sankhara also weaken. That's why your mind becomes more and more calm, more and more peaceful. I will read on. So it is not the thought. But since this mundane mind is still deluded, it will give rise to wrong thought. Why do people fear thought? Because they do not have the wisdom to understand that thought are response to memory. Hence, thought come from memory, which is selfish. Memory has fear, has delusion, has all the insecurity, phobia, all those things. That is why when you act according to memory, following your thought, or your memory and your conditioning, then you are not acting at all. So when you act according to memory, following your thought, your conscience does not come in. You know what a conscience is or not? The conscience is the one that really understands. That's why a lot of people say, I can't do all this because it's against my what? Your conscience tell you cannot do, but your thought want to do. You realize or not? Your thought justify it. Why cannot do? Other people also do what? Because selfish, beneficial. The thought is egoic, selfish. So sometimes the thought will tell you, cannot lah, nobody will know one. Especially you work in a government department, or you work in a public company, akong one. Understand not? So you tend to take things. So all this is the thought conditioning you. But your conscience will alert you. If you do this, it's wrong. Of course, it never tell you the Dhamma la. Because the conscience cannot talk, understand not? It can only like hint to you or alert you. It is not really somebody talking to you, no. It is like your nature let you understand certain things. And that voice, the inner voice, you can hear it. It's from your conscience. Then you will understand. But you tend to ignore it. I read on. What is conscience? Conscience is your sincerity, your virtue.
your sense of moral shame. When you follow your conscience, you cannot do things that are harmful to others. So conscience is needed to protect you from doing the wrong thing or immoral thing. Every time when you want to do something immoral or evil, your conscience, which resides in your heart, your nature, will tell you this is not right. But very fast, your cunning mundane mind takes over. Do you know what it will tell you? It will say, why are you afraid to do it? Do not worry, because nobody will know. And almost everybody does it. This is especially so when you work for a company or as a government servant. You tend to misappropriate things that belongs to the company or the government. We are saying, these are public things. If you do not take, other people will take. You may also think selfishly that you are now in a position to take advantage of your special power and authority to enrich yourself. That's how people commit CBT. Do you see how the cunning mundane mind, which is still deluded, takes over from your conscience and entices you to act selfishly? This is how your mundane mind, the deluded mundane mind, causes confusion in you. They thought there is only one mind, the mundane or the thinking mind. They didn't know there is another mind, the true mind. When you understand this, you become beautiful. And like I say, the heart is only an organ. So how can it have a conscience? This we need to find out. It is because the life force that comes from our karmic nature to pump the heart resides within the heart, where the seat of consciousness is. That is how you receive the karmic force, as explained by me earlier on. This is the final zigzag puzzle. For living being to come to this existential world, what do you need? Yes, you need a karmically conditioned form of mind, a vehicle and a tool. This understanding is very important. For you to come to this existential world, you need a form of mind. And this is your vehicle and tool to come. So use it appropriately, with understanding, with wisdom. And because of this life force that comes from the karmic nature, the form and mind also has, will also have the gateway to your spiritual nature next to it, within the heart of this form and mind. That is why when we meditate with the silent mind, we can detect or realize the true mind. Then when you silent everything with wisdom, you can one day detect the gateway to your true nature, where the conscience resides. That's where your conscience resides. And that's how that conscience manifests. Yeah. But if you are heedless, you always override it very fast, and you don't give it a chance. Yeah. That's why sometimes when you walk into some place, suddenly you feel something. That is actually your conscience, your nature felt. But the first instant before the thought interfered, that is the accurate one. But after that, your thought come in and rationalize. Then sometimes you ask, what is that? How come like that? Then you just ignore it. The true mind is your conscience. Your true mind does not have evil, and it is also anatta and non-self. There is no ego inside there, because it's just pure awareness without any knowing or thought. But this one can understand truth and the reality via its direct seeing. Thus is pure awareness, through its pure awareness, it can insight into phenomena to understand nature's law. It understands that this form of mind is subject to karma. As such, it cannot simply do things. That is why this conscience is already there even before you, the form and mind, develops the wisdom. So the conscience is to protect you. But very seldom the deluded living being or heedless living being understand the importance of that conscience. They always override it. Like your boss, override you. You suggest anything also, no, no, no. Last time, when I just graduated, when I work in JKR, the first day I report, that senior engineer, I don't know that the office already knew his character very funny.
So we were told, every drawing you send in or design, you at least 3-4 times kena rejected and come out. Then you have to redo and submit. So he always standard answer, no, no, no. Whatever you present, how good also, no, no, no. Then there's one junior engineer, 1 year my junior, also MU, first class honors guy. He very smart. He come in. Then he heard what we say. So you know what he did? He prepared 2 designs. One very stupid one. Then one much better one, which he wants to do. So he went in. Actually, indirectly, he's using Noble Eightfold Palm. He talked very nicely to the boss. He pretend he need the boss advice. He said, Mr. Lim, I have a problem. I need you to advise. I don't know whether this design is better or this design is better. Anybody look also know the one check guy one, cannot one. Then you know what he did? For the first time, he advised this new engineer, hey, definitely this one better, that one don't do. Then no need to change, straight away. One approval. Get home, learn this one. You give your direct boss, where he want her way or his way. You give him a stupid one. You say, I don't know how to choose. I don't know whether to use this or use it. Then he become the person who make the decision. Then he will tell you, don't use this one. This one better. Get home. Go ahead. Then no need to change. Understand? That's how you go around. And he talked to him very nice. Then he become his blue eye boy. Everything they say, you go and refer to the engineer. He know what I want. So this is what nature is. Okay, we read on. There is no ego inside there because it's just pure awareness without any knowing or thought. But this one can understand truth. Oh, we have gone through. It can insight into phenomena to understand nature's law. You understand that this... Oh, this one we all gone through, Okay. Even every living being, when they come, they have a conscience. That is why they say this is inborn. Inborn in the sense that you are not endowed with it. Do you understand? It comes with the vehicle and the tool. So it is like inborn. Yes, you can say this is nature's way. But for unenlightened living being, their deluded mundane mind tend to override or overrule it. Means the conscience, very fast. So by now, you should understand why sometimes they say the heart is the conscience. It is because this form of mind is the vehicle and the tool for you to come. And within it is the gateway to your true nature. And the gateway resides inside the heart. And because of that, the heart is where the conscience is. That is why they say, if you can, you must always follow your heart. When you go look for property to buy, what is the first rule? The first rule is you must feel comfortable when you walk into it. Your nature will know, your conscience will know. That very first instant before the thought come in and interfere. A lot of people can feel that. The moment they go in, they will know. If they do not feel good, then they will not buy that house. For some, the moment they go in, they feel very good. How many of you have such experience? You all have such experience? Quite a number, isn't it? You can feel it. Good. So there are quite a number of people of you who have such experience. And if you feel good, just buy. Do not wait. If you do not feel good, then do not buy it. It doesn't mean that the house is not good for you. There may be something there inside that house which are not favorable or compatible with your coming nature at that time. But if you have the Dhamma, every day is an auspicious day and everywhere is safe and good for you. But if you do not have the Dhamma and you have not taken care of your karma, then the most auspicious way day can also turn out to be an inauspicious day. So this one you understand. So normally the haunted house, very cheap one, isn't it? Correct? You dare to buy or not? You dare to buy or not? Well, PG say give her free also don't want. No. But you have the Dhamma, no harm, take it up. Don't worry. You know Junction House, right? People scared of Junction House. Right? You know why or not? Why Junction House people don't want to buy? Or cheaper one? They tell you who chair one, isn't it? Bad luck, isn't it? Stay in Junction. You know why or not? Stay in Junction, bad luck. I stay in Junction House, I get promoted. I fatal. But why most people get into problem? Do you know what is Junction House? Means your face, your house, not your face. Your house face that road, understand now? Where is a T-junction. So that road is a clear flow path of energy, you understand? Nature's energy, it flows. So in nature, good and bad energy also come, understand? Tua ho, tua pai, you understand now? So if you don't have Dhamma, means what? Good one, saum heya, cannot receive. Bad one, yet taiza. That's why Junction House, a lot of people cannot take it. Sure, koya on. But I stay Junction House, I fatat. A lot of things you have to find out yourself. If you have the parami, everywhere is auspicious. Don't need to choose special auspicious day. No need. Every day is auspicious to you because you take care of karma, your nature. You take care of karma, karma take care of you. And your nature protects you. Your virtue, your understanding protect you. But if you don't take care of karma, even you buy the house in the best feng shui, you also know use, I tell you. You will get into trouble too. Well, ultimately, it's not feng shui that decides your life. It's karma. As long as you don't take care of karma, feng shui is only temporary, play a little bit of role in your life, not much. You understand what feng shui is? Feng shui is, I finish this first before you are. Man and nature must harmonize. That is what feng shui is all about. Because we live in the existential world, which is part of nature. So if you don't know how to harmonize, then you can get into trouble. But this is only the physical law part, the energy part. So what happens is, in nature, there is certain formation, understand? Or? That's why they tell you, you want to have good feng shui, you must have good qi flow around there, the stream all very lively, a lot of good qi. Then at the back, the mountain, the yang energy, yin yang. Yin is the female energy, the more yin one, like eerie and all that. But the yang energy is the dominant one, the male one, very strong one. So they always look for this type of long tao, long mei. You heard of it, dragon head, dragon tail. So mountain formation and look for all this. This is what the feng shui people will tell you. So what happens is you have a good feng shui means the qi around there is very good. Understand? Then when it's very good, of course, it's conducive for you to live better, better oxygen, better environment, and less of those negative energy. It's just like you live in a more peaceful area. The consciousness are more clean and all those things. It's like you go to a tranquil setting. Of course, you will have a better environment. Then you settle down. But this is only having the environment to enhance your life because you have the good condition to receive the good karma. Understand? But as long as the good karma is like money in the bank, you keep on drawing, no more money already, how? Then you cannot whole life stay in the house. No? You have to move out. No? When you move out, the environment is different again. So feng shui is temporary. Then feng shui also change because nature, the qi flow will change. When certain things change, it changes. We are a planet rotating on our axis, understand? And we are going through space and time. So when you are near another sector of space, because we circle it around the sun, the radius is very big. That's why during full moon, new moon, the gravity of the moon interacts with our Earth gravity, and it also causes energy shift and movement.
the wave, the ocean, everything. So all this is part and parcel of nature's thing. But that is only the physical law, understand or not? Qi, about qi. And to me, no use. Because once you finish up your good karmic conditioning, then when you move out of that house, or you travel, or you go out, you are subject to normal. That's why without karma, you will get into trouble. And you have seen people with all the feng shui, that they believe after their parent or grandparent die, they expend a lot of money on feng shui. After they spend, they think their luck will be good. Understand? Or? So sometimes they believe, because it so happened, they are confident, then their business go up. Then when something happened that time, they call the feng shui master, come check what happened to my feng shui. That's when he make money from you. Because Sui Ang got a very good story. He's even a Hong Kong famous feng shui master. He took one very wealthy family, go and look for feng shui, a good place. Then he said, this place is very good. This is the best. Then he tell them to buy. But before he can finish explaining, what happened, Sui Ang? Earthquake. Feng shui master also died there. Buried with it. Landslide. You go and believe feng shui. Now you can ask. Jehun, you can ask now.
I'm taking off from the auspicious day. I noticed the trend now is that pregnant girls, pregnant ladies, they actually choose auspicious day.
Oh, okay.
And then go in for cesarean to have the birth.
Oh, okay.
What's your take from about this?
Oh, very good question. Yeah, Sui Ang already answered you. Auspicious according to who? Or according to feng shui master or tong su or what?
They go to the temple.
No. Very easy, Kehun. Very easy. Yeah? Our planet, how many population of human being? How many?
7 million.
So you name me a day that is auspicious. No. Let's say you are very good. The feng shui master tell you, or somebody tell you, it's an auspicious day where you want to go into cesarean.
What I hear is when I go back to Penang, then when you mix with the community, they say, oh.
I understand all that.
I do not know. No, careful.
No need to go so far. What is important is you understand what I say, you will understand it. Let's say that day is really auspicious for you and for a lot of people. Okay? Within that day that is auspicious, you know how many get accident or not in the world? How many got killed or not? Where got such thing as auspicious day make everybody auspicious? No such thing, understand or not? And go and believe all this. If you don't take care of karma, auspicious day also become unauspicious, understand? You think the hospital, every day nobody die? The hospital got the most number of death, you know? Do you understand? And all over the world, every moment, every instant, there is death, there is birth. It's just like they say, you born animal, which animal? Rat, or horse, or monkey, or whatever. You know, within that year, how many monkey or not? You pick, dragon. Also no, then you all guess, horse, Oh, lots of rat. You know, during that year when you are born as rat, you know how many rats are. That whole year, you know, how many human population take birth? All the rats, same destiny. Where got such thing? Then every 12 years, again, a lot of rats come out. Then they tell you, rat cannot marry.
When I was a child, just across my house, my father is a businessman, so we are living right directly in town.
Yeah.
So it's across the house, there was a story. And then a child was born. It's a baby girl. Hey? So it was after four girls, they have a girl. Then the father was so happy to come back. So on the way...
After four girls, they still have a girl?
They have a girl.
After
four boys.
That's why girl. I must correct you.
Four boys, they have a girl. So the father was very happy. So the father rushed back to the hospital. So on the way back, he died.
So they thought it's a very auspicious occasion. Born boy.
So
I got another case. My father's good friend, he did the furniture for my father. My father ordered furniture from a carpenter. He got a wife. They have four daughters opposite. Four daughters. The wife want to try to get a boy. Because otherwise, to the Chinese, no boy, the mother-in-law, father-in-law can chase you out, or can allow a second one to come in. No? Understand? Where you don't like the hyung-tang, to pass to the next generation. So, you know what the husband said? Because during that time, I think, after four child, the wife actually very fertile, at the right age. The husband cannot bear the burden of so many children. dare not even sleep with her to have the fifth one. He's get another girl. Come on. They got to make another one. So he stopped at four. And he asked the wife to go and tie. Don't give birth anymore. Because four is already a big burden, the education and everything. And that was during my father's time. And my mother gave birth to nine. So don't worry about auspicious. When you understand, take care, karma.
So the story was then. So the mother who has five now was not working at a period of time. So she is really financial crisis.
Okay.
So gave that daughter to her sister.
Okay.
Then the sister's husband died.
So you think very chair?
No, I was a child only. So they went to Mansan, they go to the temple, and then they say that this girl is born on a very strong day. It's chung everybody. So at the end of the day, this child grew up in a temple. So I was a child then. Then I told my mother, how can you all do things like that? I remember that my mother, it doesn't make sense. How can you punish a child for that? I never found the answer. Anyway, it says that. So my mother would say,
that's what they will tell you, understand? But I have to explain one more thing. There is such thing as relatively auspicious day. You know why I use the word relatively? It's not auspicious for everybody, understand? So most of the time, the auspicious day, even the Buddha during his time, you know why? Uposatha day. Within 1 month, got how many uposat? So the Buddha always recommend, it's the moon, understand? The full moon and the new moon, these are relatively auspicious day. Because this is the time, the effect of the what they call the gravity of the moon, is supposed to be optimal, understand? So they're going through this cycle. So they will always ask the monk during the uposat, the four uposat day, to go and confess the minor offense. If you have violated whatever minor offense of the patimokkha, then the head monk will make a decision and give you an appropriate type of like sentence. Sentence means they ask you to do certain things. So last time, my teacher, Ajayantra, what they do with those people who commit this minor offense, you know where he sent them to? He sent them to his floating branch monastery. They have a dam, very big dam, reservoir, actually not dam. Then that time, the Thai government, I think, they managed to contact somebody they know. Then they give him permission to build a floating temporary branch monastery there. Not very big, it's just like a vihara. And when you are sent there, you cannot choose to come out on. We have no boat on. Unless you swim. And there is monk who will off and on go and check on you. So that is how the punishment is like. You say you stay there for 2 weeks, or you stay there for 1 month. But there is such thing as auspicious day, because when they look at Tong Su all thing, they also check the planet movement, all those things. So on such auspicious day, normally is favorable for most people who have that good karma, understand or not? Well, it's like less disturbance on those days. You know what is less disturbance? That's why certain time of the year, like when the planetary movement, even in the Buddha's time, when they do the chanting, I think Engby will know. The planetary alignment affect the consciousness. So the Buddha in the chanting, I remember he chanted what? Sabbetiyo yuva jantu, all those things. The word of all the whatever. It's mentioned that planetary effect and all those things. Unpleasant sound, the bird and all that. They affect one. So all these are in the teaching. Understand? But it's not what you think. It's because when during that time, all this will happen. That's why there was one incident. I think it was recorded. There was a blackout in, was it New York or where? Then after 9 to 10 months, a lot of birth, extra baby. So these are conditions. Then sometimes a lot of people, the mind affected during that time. So a lot of these things, history has recorded. Understand? So if people who know how to actually read, like feng shui and all that, they will know roughly, or tong su and all those things, that is their prediction. But my advice to you is, forget about it. Why? You don't take care of karma, no matter what, your life will be in danger. But all these are not permanent solution. It will not give you permanent fix. Like I told you, I mentioned just now. Within the same day you say auspicious, so many people die and have accident. You understand? Then my sister-in-law, my elder brother's wife, he got 10 brother and sister, 9 sister, 1 son. And the son is the last one. The father try until number 9 still try, then number 10 son. All girl. There is such a family. But they also believe feng shui. That's why nothing worked. Still very poor, very miserable. The only son come also didn't change anything. We are pampered. You understand? So it's not how lucky you are. Well, finally you got a son. You think very lucky. The first night all girl. That probability is already bad enough. Isn't it? People fall, they not try already. This one nine still try, then got one. But didn't make the difference. It seems the youngest brother passed away. So a lot of these things, you cannot believe what people tell you. You have to find out yourself. If you don't take care of karma, all this, to me, is of no use. Because it is not the major factor. The major factor is karma. Maybe they contribute less than, I think, 1 or 2%. Of what your life is. But like the Buddha said, 99.999% is karma. Well, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. Otherwise, the Buddha said, you are born of your feng shui. He never say that. If your feng shui good, then you will have good life. He never say that. He said, all is law of karma. Always remember that every day. Born of your karma, not born of your feng shui luck. Understand? So all this, you have to reflect, understand, that you will not be like deluded or become gullible by all these things. A lot of people spend a lot of money on feng shui. And end of the day, nothing happened. I give you one example. This one is one of the Kayanamita. The son was like a lot of problem. Everything go wrong. Work for people also get into trouble, then sacked from the job, then without job, then go and tell the parent, I don't want to work for people. Well, Robert Kiyosaki say, be your own boss better. So he want to start business. So the father, parents supported him. Gave him the money. Then, because he's karma is terrible. So he do everything also wrong. Then the father also bought him a car. Then the car didn't take care. The summon also didn't pay until the compound fine escalated until almost 6,000 ringgit of compound fine. Until the father was very angry. And you know what he did or not? He finally go and believe a friend who told him, go and check with the feng shui master. And the feng shui master saw his car, said, blue color, bad luck. Respray red. He go and spend a few hundred ringgit go and respray red now. And borrow money some more. After respray red, lagi kaulat. Nothing happened. So when you are deluded, you will do all these things. How can the color of the car change your life destiny? Huh? You also can understand it. Otherwise you go back spray red. You see how whatever. So a lot of things, when you use your understanding, you will not be so foolish. So answer your question already. There is such thing as relatively auspicious day. So you have the day like full moon day. Normally, it's the energy is quite good one. It's less disturbing to people. But certain type of planetary alignment can cause mental consciousness to have problem.
This belief of your children getting married, you're going to look for auspicious day, or we can just take any day?
So what do you think after I explain? No need.
No need.
If you have the good karma, every day is auspicious. That's why now people are very smart. All the booking full, isn't it?
Yeah, la, except the
my book 1 year ago. Except Chikgui. Chikgui discount some more. But
and
you say,
shotgun, then they have to
you say it. Hungry ghost, bo ho feng shui, it's up to you. If you don't understand, then you have fear. When you have fear, it has power over you.
Penang, we are very cheap goods, a big thing. We don't move house.
Yeah la.
We don't travel. We don't marry our children.
So this are all. Was it Tuesday class? You don't come Tuesday class. That day I shared the Ulambana Sutta. Was where? Tuesday class. Ulambana Sutta. You know how the Chigui Puan come about? Well, that was the date when Mongolana tried to go down and save the mother who was born in hell. He used his psychic. Bring the food down. Cannot. Mo lian jiu mo. He went down. Cannot. The food become molten hot. Cannot. Then he went back and meet up with the Buddha and check with the Buddha. The Buddha said, no way. This type of karmic thing, your psychic doesn't work down there. Understand? So the Buddha advised him, he said, you must wait till the Chigui Pua. That day is supposed to be the very auspicious day. You know why auspicious? Not because of feng shui. Because he said that day, a lot of people will make genuine offering to all the Buddhas and all the great beings. That's why he asked Mongolana to use his parami, to use his whatever wholesomeness, invoke power or merit, then make genuine offering on behalf of the mother. Then only the merit can actually intervene. Then the mother have a better rebirth. You think easier. Arahan with psychic go down also count deep. And that is Chikwe Puana, very auspicious. You say go kui, hungry ghost. You understand? No? That's why it's completely opposite. Chikwe Puana, you know what they go and do? What you go and do? Your parents will tell you don't go out. That 1 month, the hell release all the ghosts out. You think all the prisoner put to jail or kajang, you release 1 month out, they go back or not? And people believe, no, 1 month, no, they all come out, no. Then after that, go back again. So, Chikgui Besai Chumui. These are traditional beliefs, Chinese culture. That's why sometimes you cannot blame the Westerner laugh at us. But luckily, we got Buddhism. Buddhism really make them respect us.
they know our 5,000 years of Chinese culture and history is very rich. That's why our religion, the Buddhist religion, is really very unique. So forget about all these things. The Buddha emphasized, don't go and believe all the fortune teller, don't go and believe all the medium, don't go and do all those things that is related to spirit and all those things. Because they are still like you, not free. Understand? They are still within the 31 plane of existence. Cultivate, take care of karma. That is the most safe. Okay? Understand? Ah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. What's the time already? I think you're supposed to meditate already. What, 10:10 already? Okay. 10:10. 10:10. Okay, then I do another half an hour, then only you meditate. Okay. Oh, before that we have to take photo, so I have to stop at 11:45. Yeah? Okay, you still have 1 hour to meditate. Yeah? Okay, I read on. Yeah? Where does your conscience come from? Eh? Oh, sorry. Where were I? Ah, yes, yes, Alicia. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Then maybe after your meditation, we straight away have the photograph. Okay, okay. Where did I stop? Oh, go for property. Okay, page 24. You have the... Oh, I finished page 24. Then 25. It's how you understand things and how stable your wisdom is. So conscience, your heart, and your brain is about 14 inch apart, depending on the size and build. But they find it very difficult to decide whether to follow the heart or the mundane mind. To them, all that they know is that their mind is only their thought, the mundane mind, which is deluded before their former mind awakened. But when you have the Dhamma, it's no more that way, and it is not which one to follow anymore. Because when you have the Dhamma, you will act with wisdom, following your heart, the conscience. That is the correct one. Where does the conscience come from? It arises from within your true nature. And what is your true nature all about? It is the embodiment of wisdom and understanding. That is why without wisdom and understanding, you will not follow your conscience. You will simply do things because you are heedless. This conscience can only come and protect you for a while. It will surface when you are without thought. Remember, when you are without thought, it will surface. And prejudices means you don't have the mundane mind interfering. But immediately after that, your brain, your cunningness will take over. And this is what happened to mundane people, puttajana. Do you know what a puttajana is? The one that is still not enlightened. What do you call a puttajana in English? Yes, a whirling, an unenlightened being. Whereas the enlightened one are called Aryas. So when you are still a puttajana, your thoughts are wrong and deluded thought most of the time. Because without wisdom connected to the form and mind, you cannot arise the right thought. You cannot have right view. You cannot have the understanding born of your conscience. So are all these clear? Yeah? By now it should be clear to you. Eh? Anybody not clear? Okay, good. Today's sharing is not easy to understand. You have to go back and slowly reflect and contemplate on what has been shared. So this is what you have to do. Otherwise not easy. But most of you, I think you are hearing it for the first time, except those who attended the Thursday class. Develop the second turning wisdom. Contemplate on what have been shared to develop the second turning wisdom. But because of condition, and this teaching wants to come out, that is how it can happen. There is no book that writes about this subject as yet.
I have hardly heard anybody explaining any of this. So this understanding that I share with you all is not from other source. This is from my nature that has developed it in the past. That is the reason why I can explain all this to you. During the early years, if I were to speak to you this way, you may not understand. You all may run away because you may think and comment as follows. Where got such Dhamma? Because they are not written in any book and you have not heard about it before. How many of you have heard about this before? Huh? The conscience and all those things. Maybe the word conscience you are familiar, but you have not heard anybody explaining it to you. Hardly anyone, right? Most of you still cannot understand, especially traditional Buddhists and cultivators who are not open-minded, because you all are so conditioned. This teaching is very rare and it's a true gem. And today's sharing is very complete. It not only covers the essential Dhamma and the Dhamma for true practitioner, but it also covers the higher teaching of the Bodhisattva way concerning the gateway, the conscience and the true nature. It also integrates with the full understanding of life. Do you see all of today's Dhamma sharing can be written on this one whiteboard? You go to that date, there's a whiteboard, all the notes are there. Everything is summarized inside there. Then someone says, since you have a brain which is so much bigger in capacity as compared to the whiteboard to understand things, so understanding the above written on the whiteboard is not difficult, right? Then I ask again, is it difficult? It is not difficult. But to put it into practice, that one is difficult. To make it into a living reality, that one takes time. Do you understand? To understand the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching, is important. I think by now, quite a number of you can figure this out already, more or less, at least 60% of you already have this Pariyatti understanding. But to really comprehend it and put it into practice, cultivate and develop this understanding to live it and make it a living reality, which is the second phase of the Dhamma, Patipatti, is not easy. You can do it, then you get to enjoy the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, which is the fruition of your hard work. When you awaken, you get to live the third phase of Dhamma, the life of an enlightened being, or Arya, as stated in the Heart Sutta short note text. Under the appendix section on Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda, this chart summarizes everything. It is a very good, very complete, and a very beautiful chart. You can go back and read it yourself. It's all linked. Okay, then we finish. Do you have any more questions? Then we say, yes, we better rejoice. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The rest you go back and read. It's a very important book. A lot of things are described there. Okay, now you can have your meditation. So maybe, okay, 1 hour, 11:20, then we can have a photo after that, only sharing. Okay, 11:20, we come back. Now you can have your meditation.
Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Yeah? So I was told some of you may need to go down to help. Yeah? So they want to have photograph session earlier. So can we gather here to have photograph session now? Yeah? Come, all of you, gather here. Yeah? Usually we take from there.
I see in the middle.